tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radio.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 20th of January 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we were supposed to have a guest today, but he is unfortunately unable to make it. And after all that work that I put into getting the radio stream working yesterday, it started playing the wrong file, and I think I know what the problem is, so hopefully today it will be fixed and podcasts will be appearing at the right time and it will be the right podcast on the Radio Albion stream, but we'll just have to wait until this podcast goes out to check that. Anyway, the article that I want to get into today concerns the crime rate that is linked to migration. And the article that I'm taking today comes from GB News. And the headline is, migrants are responsible for 80% of all train theft arrests, new data shows. And of course, if you're a nationalist, this won't come as a surprise to you because you will be aware of the statistics that are linked to migration or linked to people of migration backgrounds, I should say. And it's always a minimum of twice the rate that white people carry out these crimes at. In some cases, it's massively different, such as if you look at sex crime data, and Afghans and Eritreans are 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assaults and rapes than white people. What we're talking about here is train thefts. And of course, when they say migrants, all they're talking about are people that have a foreign nationality on their passport. They're not actually talking about people of migration backgrounds that could be originally their family were migrants, migrated here from, say, Africa, and that they were born here. And we're not actually adding those to this. So this is literally just people that have arrived in the country from somewhere else, not people of a migration background that were actually born in the country. Just people that have come into the country from elsewhere. 80% of all train theft arrests are carried out by them, and yet they only make up 10% of the population. So 10% of the population is responsible for 80% of the thefts on trains. You would think that because of that, the government would want to do something and do something about that 10% of the population, but they're not. They're not doing anything to prevent people from migrating to Britain. And yet we can see here that they're eight times more likely to carry out train thefts than their percentage of the population. Let's get into what this article here says. Migrants are responsible for 80% of all train theft arrests, GB News can reveal. Staggering new analysis from the Centre for Migration Control, seen by GB News, shows foreign nationals make up 79.3% of arrests for theft of passenger property on Britain's transport network. According to a Freedom of Information request submitted by the think tank, 9,771 arrests were carried out across Britain's transport network in the year 2024 to 2025. Of those arrested, 3,688 were foreign nationals, representing 37.7%. CMC analysis shows foreign nationals are more likely to be arrested than native-born people by the British Transport Police for a host of crimes. Foreign nationals make up the overwhelming number of those arrested for stealing at nearly 80% and were 36% of arrests for sexual offences, 35% of arrests for violent crimes, and 39% of arrests for drug-related offences. And again, they only make up 10% of the population, yet they make up 40% of all the sexual offences and 40% of all the violence. So they're four times as likely to carry out violence and four times as likely to carry out sexual assaults. Now, this really isn't a surprise. If you look at other statistics, I mean, we can have a look here at American statistics, offence profile by race and ethnicity for United States 2023. And this basically just gives you the number of all offences. White offences, 8,000. Total offences, 30,000. So there are 22,000 offences carried out by non-whites in America and only 8,000 offences carried out by whites. So you can say there that people of a migration background are three times as likely to carry out offences than white Americans are. If we look at Denmark, we can look at Denmark's statistics here. And again, they don't use this percentage, but they say that per 1,000 people, there are one person per every
100
people. And yet, if you look at countries like Tunisia, Lebanon, Somalia, then that's more like 10 people being arrested per every
100
people. So they're 10 times as likely to carry out offences. In Denmark, if we look over here in Britain at the David Lammy Report, and I'll quote directly from the David Lammy Report here, despite making up just 14% of the population, black and minority ethnic men and women make up 25% of all prisoners, so twice as likely to carry out crimes in Britain, while over 40% of young people in custody are from black and minority ethnic backgrounds. So they're three times more likely to carry out these crimes. And when he says black and minority ethnic there, he's also including the Chinese in it. And Chinese and Japanese, people from that part of the world, they are far less likely to carry out crimes than white people are. So if you're actually to break that down into ethnicity, black being one ethnicity, Afro-Caribbean, Chinese being another, Japanese being another, I'm sure that what you'd actually see is that the black ethnicity would be responsible for about four or five times the amount of crime than their percentage of the population. But because they're also including these Chinese and Japanese statistics in it, it actually goes down to only three times their population, percentage of the population. And we actually find these statistics wherever we see that statistics are collected by ethnicity. We see that people who aren't white, who are black or Arab, non-white, they are more likely to carry out crimes than white people. And when you look at Chinese and Japanese, they are less likely to carry out crimes than white people. I mean, these are easy statistics to find. So if you knew those statistics, why would you import people into your country that you know are more likely to carry out crimes? It just doesn't make any sense, does it? But of course, if a country was to stop importing people from other countries, they would be accused of being racist, wouldn't they? Of these migrant arrests, 225 are linked to sexual offences, 900 to violence, 187 to drugs, and 300 to theft or passenger property. That means there are 225 women who were on train journeys that would not have been sexually assaulted if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. 900 people on these train journeys would not have been violently attacked if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. And 300 would not have had their property stolen from them if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. And that's recent immigration policy as well, as I say, because we're not including people of a migration background here. What we're including are just people with a foreign passport. They make up 10% of the population, yet 80% of all the thefts on the trains. In the UK, 5.9 million people hold non-British passports, representing 9.9% of the population, according to the 2021 census. Robert Bates, research director at the Centre for Migration Control, told GB News, "Immigration has caused a crime wave on British trains and public transport." Well, I'll just interject there. It's caused a crime wave everywhere, hasn't it, really? Not just on the trains and the public transport. Even the David Lammy report admits that black and minority ethnics make up 40% of the young offenders in custody, and yet they only make up 14% of the population. Immigrants are vastly overrepresented in arrest figures from British Transport Police, particularly when it comes to theft. Keeping Brits safe is the number one priority of the government, yet under the Tories and Labour, they have continued to let in millions of migrants who commit terrible crimes against the native population. And I guess we have to keep saying this, but really, if it was just one horrendous crime was carried out against the indigenous population, surely then you should stop all migration, even if there was just one, let alone hundreds of thousands, which is the amount that we actually have. He says, last year, every 3 minutes, a migrant was arrested in Britain. And of course, the argument against this is to say, well, it's not all migrants that carry out these crimes. It's not all crocodiles that eat gazelles, but you still wouldn't want crocodiles living amongst your gazelles, would you? You know, if there was just one poisoned sweetie soaked in cyanide in the sweetie jar, you wouldn't want to put your hand in that sweetie jar and start testing out the sweeties, would you? Because you would know that one of them might poison you. Why do we continue to have this migration if we know that so many of them are going to actually carry out these horrendous crimes? Some of them will actually carry out murder. Some will carry out sexual assaults. As I say, just looking at these statistics there, over 300 women would not have been sexually assaulted last year if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy, just while they were travelling on a train, that is. Of course, we know there are far worse things than happen than just sexual assault, like gang rape and abduction and rape and rape murder, and all of these things are linked to the government's migration policy, because the people that are carrying them out are only here in the country because of the government's migration policy. Mr. Bates continued, they have made our trains unsafe. It is the responsibility of any sane government to end immigration and begin a programme of mass deportations to protect the British people. And this is a quote from this charity think tank that's the representative that collected this data that is saying this. It is time we followed the examples of the United States and introduced a red list of countries that are simply not eligible for a British visa. And that should include the countries where people are more likely to carry out crimes than white people. Particularly, you should say, right, well, Afghanistan and Eritrea, they're over 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assaults and rapes right straight away. We don't want people from Eritrea or Somalia. Of course, our opponents would then say, well, that's just a racist policy because you're just banning people from coming from these black countries. But the unfortunate facts of the matter are is that people from those countries are more likely to carry out these crimes. It's got nothing to do with disliking their skin colour, it's to do with wanting to protect the indigenous population from these horrendous offences against them. And when you look at these statistics for groups, ethnic groups that are more likely to carry out offences, they also correlate with the ethnic groups that are more likely to have lower IQs. If you look at Africa, look at a place like Somalia, I think the IQ is under 70, it's about 69. You've got some African countries where the IQ is 59, and the average white person's IQ is 100. And the best indicator of life outcomes, the most reliable indicator, is IQ. If somebody has an IQ of 100 or higher, then they're more likely to succeed in life, less likely to be involved in crime, less likely to be on government benefits and welfare. And if they have a lower IQ, they're more likely to carry out crimes, more likely to be on government benefits. So really, I mean, the sensible thing to do would be to allow people into the country via IQ test. But of course, then again, you'd be accused of being racist. The news comes after data obtained by the CMC from 26 police forces across the country showed that migrants are 34% more likely to be arrested for all crimes than native British people. And the other argument against that is to say, well, that's because Britain is racist. That's because all the judges are racist. That's because all the police are racist. And that's the conclusion that David Lammy comes to in his David Lammy report which looked into these disparities between different ethnic groups in Britain. And the conclusion he comes to is that it must be because the system is racist, rather than it must be that these people are actually carrying out more crime. And if you look at statistics between men and women, you see that men are more likely to carry out crimes than women. And we don't say, well, that's because these judges and these police are just anti-men, and we accept the fact that men are more likely to carry out crimes than women. And we should really just accept the fact that non-whites are more likely to carry out crimes than white people. Of course, that's if we don't include Japanese and Chinese in among the non-whites, because they're less likely to carry out these crimes. The data from 2023 shows the arrest rate for British nationals was 1 per 94 individuals, meaning that for every 94 British nationals, one arrest was made, although some individuals may have been arrested more than once. However, for foreign-born nationals, the rate is increased to 1 in 70, representing a 34% higher arrest rate compared to the British population. So what they're saying there is that out of every 70 foreign people that you meet, one of them will be a criminal. And our government seems to think that that's a reasonable statistics to bet on allowing these people into the country, that most people aren't going to come across one that's going to carry out a crime. But one in 70 is going to carry out a crime, aren't they? Looking at these statistics, drawing on data from dozens of police forces, the CMC estimates that since 2021, there have been 369,000 arrests of non-UK nationals on Britain's streets. That means 369,000 people have been victims of a crime against them carried out by somebody of foreign heritage. That figure represents nearly 19% of the 1.96 million arrests recorded over the period, despite non-UK-born individuals making up around 16% of the population. And, of course, that number has changed over the years. There's a lot more that are now coming into the country than there was before. But that still means that 19% of all offences wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. That's what it's telling us. Data supplied by almost 90% of the forces surveyed indicates that migrants are overrepresented in arrest statistics relative to their share of the population. And of course, then you can say, well, what about the conviction rates? Perhaps they're being arrested because the police are just prejudiced and they're not actually guilty of these crimes. But as I say, when you look at the David Lammy report, which looks at conviction rates, in fact, looks at the number of people that are in prison, that shows that black and minority ethnics are 3 to 4 times more likely to be in prison than white people. So that says that, well, no, these people are actually being convicted of this as well. And more recent figures show that between April 2024 and March 2025, an average of 473 foreign nationals were arrested each day. So that's almost 500 crimes a day are being carried out by people that don't even have a British passport, people that have arrived in the country just in the last few years, effectively, thanks to the government's immigration policy. Harrison Pitt, senior policy fellow at Restore Britain, said, "The fact that we already have problems of our own is no reason to import the problems of the world." And that's the point that needs to be made, because our opponents will say, oh, yes, well, white people carry out crimes as well, you know. Well, yes, well, it's bad enough we have to deal with white people carrying out crimes. Why should we have to deal with people from all around the world carrying out crimes in our country as well? People with much higher rates of criminality than our own. Why would you do that? Why would you do something so ridiculous and so obviously harmful to your own people? Why would you do it? This is why people will say, well, this is a deliberate plot against white people to hurt white people. I don't personally believe that. I think the reason why all this happens is because people want to do the right thing, and they think doing the right thing is helping out people from other countries. And as well as that, we also have our economic policy, which is all based upon usury, which requires constant inflation of the population so that there'll be a constant inflation of the money supply. So there's two reasons. There's people believing that it is the moral thing to do to open up the borders and let people in from these other failed countries. And there is also this higher understanding, which you probably get up above the government itself and amongst the owners of the banks, that you need to have a constant increase in population in order to have a constant increase in circulation. So there are two reasons for it. Of course, they're not going to tell you that it's based on usury at Restore Britain. They say a patriotic government would immediately establish a tiered system of immigration. Any countries whose nationals are found to be overrepresented in British crime statistics, whether they hail from Afghanistan or Albania, should be forbidden from sending anyone else to our national home. Of course, that's the sensible thing to do, but I don't see that our government are actually going to do this. I mean, it's good that these statistics are being talked about at GB News, because before the advent of GB News, they would just be talked about in the alternative media. But the alternative media is so big now, and so many people know about these things, that the mainstream media has been forced to address these issues. So they will appear on GB News and more people will learn about it. Restore Britain continued. The safety of Britain's host population ought to matter more than the hurt feelings of foreigners with no natural right to be here. Again, that's a nationalist sentiment there, that the hurt feelings is not a good enough reason for allowing all this crime to take place in Britain. Worrying about the hurt feelings of Somalians should not take precedence over preventing white people from being raped by Somalians, for instance. And GB News has approached the Home Office for comment, but there has been no response, strangely enough. And I'm sure we'll actually hear more about this as these statistics get more talked about on GB News. I have another article that I'd like to get into today, which isn't actually related to that first one. And this one sort of demonstrates that these problems with sexual assaults, they're not just related to Muslims. People like Tommy Robinson will just blame Muslims for everything. And it's not Muslims, it's our government's immigration policy that brings people into our country that are incompatible with our own culture. And this news story here concerns a white American that actually went to India. And of course, India is majority Hindu. They are not Muslim, they're Hindu, but they are the same, biologically they are the same as the Pakistanis that actually live next door who are Muslim. But in India, they're Hindu, they're a different religion, but they are still the same biologically, and they still have a similar culture, as we will see here. And this article comes from Breitbart, and the headline is, "A family of teen Indian sexual attacker condemns American victim for overreacting." And this shows you the difference in culture, the way that the family of the attacker responded to this. The family of a teenage Indian boy who groped a female American tourist at a New Delhi metro station is accusing the victim of overreacting to the incident, arguing that the teen merely got carried away during his first encounter with a blonde woman. And this really shows you the attitude over there, which I keep saying, is that when these people see white women and they are used to seeing women that are covered up in their own countries, they get carried away, as was said here. This will be their defense in court as well, that they just couldn't help themselves. It was just such a shock to them to see this beautiful white woman there and not being protected by any man. So they just thought, well, I'll just have a grope, basically. And again, this is another thing that happens in the trains as well. In Britain, more often now, is women will get sexually assaulted on trains. And the adverts will show you white people cracking on to black women, and that's not the case. It's nearly always people from that part of the world, India, Pakistan, that sort of area, that are sexually assaulting the women. The American woman was reportedly visiting India to attend a friend's wedding. She described her encounter at the train station as the one unfortunate and ugly incident that marred a fun and memorable 8 days in India. Her story was relayed through social media on Friday by Gaurav Sabnis, a professor at the Stevens Institute of Technology whose class the woman once attended. She contacted him because she recalled his warning, based on his youthful memories of growing up in India, that she would attract a great deal of unwanted attention based on her looks. I told her, be on guard for sexual harassment, especially in Delhi. Here, you are just another blonde. There, you will be a target, Sabnis recalled telling his student. So, you know, they're not trying to cover this up. This is an Indian guy, and he's not trying to cover this up. He warned her. He said, look, you will get sexually assaulted in India. That's what my culture is like. You need to be on your guard. And yet, this woman was still sexually assaulted. According to the woman, strangers began approaching her as soon as she landed in New Delhi, asking to take pictures with her. Recalling Sabnis's advice, she said no to the many men who approached her, but agreed to take a few pictures with women and children. I mean, just seeing a white person over there is a novelty, particularly a blonde female out in public. But then a teenage boy, maybe 14 or 15, at a Delhi metro station just ruined it forever, she said. He was with his mum and sister, so I thought, okay, why not? And again, this shows you how this is accepted culturally, because this guy, this young lad, was out with his family when he did this. His family defended him. He puts an arm on my shoulder, she told Sabnis. Weird, but okay, he's a teenager. And then, Professor, he just straight up grabbed my breasts hard and spanked my butt and giggled like he had played a joke. Well, yes, that would be seen as a joke in India. It's a different culture. A very, very different culture in these other countries than it is in Europe. You're just asking for these sorts of problems to occur by importing these people into Europe. And again, this isn't Muslims, this is Hindus. The woman said she pretty much exploded in anger and shoved the teen away, inadvertently knocking him off his feet. The teen's mother accused her of overreacting and said she should have indulged her son because he had never met a blonde lady up close, so he got carried away. So the mother was saying, well, you should have just let him grope you. You should have just let him sexually assault you. That's what the mother would have expected the white woman to do. The woman said the incident was enough to sour her on the idea of returning to India or even South Asia. I feel so sad for Indian women. This is their everyday life, she remarked. Well, I'm not sure it is Indian women's everyday life because the Indian women cover up and they're not blonde. And quite clearly, blonde women of European stock are seen as extremely attractive to Indians, to these non-whites. So again, it's going to act as a magnet for them to come to places like Britain and to come to Europe when it's full of these beautiful women that are walking around not covered up. It's a magnet to these people, and it's also a great temptation for them to sexually assault the women, as occurred here, especially because in their own culture it would not be looked upon as even a crime, but just looked upon as, oh, he was played a joke on her, he slapped her butt. The Times of India on Monday described the incident as something of a viral sensation, with social media users generally supporting the woman while chastising the grabby teenage boy and his overprotective mother. So generally people were supporting the women, but there were people that were not supporting the women. I would probably say that the people that were supporting the women were probably people commenting from the West. Whenever my daughter travelled to India, she was left deeply bewildered why people spoke to her while staring at her chest instead of meeting her eyes, why they asked for selfies as if she were an object rather than a person, and why so many felt entitled to touch, feel, or grab her, one social media commentator said. Well, again, it's because it's a different culture, where women are looked upon in a different way to the way that they are in the West. And once you know that, it's quite obvious why you get these problems with migrants that come into the West. And the government knows that what these people are like, what their culture is like, and yet they still allow it. The saddest thing is, some women are the biggest enablers of their Raja beaters behaviour, said another commentator, quoted by India's News 18. It is a vicious cycle. Boy mums are of a higher status, so she is socialized to defend this rather than beat the crap out of him as a lesson. And Raja Beta syndrome is essentially the Indian version of being a spoiled brat, a condition seen as imposed upon some young Indian men by mothers who insist on treating them like princes and pampering their every need. Raja Beta means the king's son in Hindi. So Raja is obviously the king. Beta is son. So it's effectively saying that he's a prince. So they're saying it's prince syndrome, that these mothers think that their young boys can't do anything wrong, so they just defend them doing these things. Among other things, this approach tends to produce young men with very poor impulse control, who view women as servants, the way their mothers have insisted on acting towards them. Raja Beta syndrome has been invoked in court rulings against men accused of rape and other violence against women. In one recent and controversial case, a court acquitted a woman of helping her son cover up his rape and murder of a 5-year-old girl and commuted the man's death sentence to life in prison. And you think if somebody had carried out the rape and murder of a 5-year-old girl in Britain, the way that that would be looked upon, the mother wouldn't be covering it up for him. But in India, that is seen as something that a mother would cover up for. If we take a closer look at this, and we look at what actually went on here, the Punjab and Haryana High Court has commuted a man's death sentence to life term for raping and murdering a 5-year-old girl in 2018 while acquitting his mother of charges of conspiracy to save him, observing that women often have blind love for their precious sons and regard them as Raja Betas, no matter how imperfect or villainous they might be. Kamala Devi was convicted by the trial court for shielding her son and not allowing villagers to enter her home when they came for a search as the girl was last seen with the woman's son. Unfortunately, in this part of India, family members, especially mothers, often have such blind love for their precious sons that no matter how imperfect or villainous they may be, they are still regarded as Raja Betas, a bench of justices Anoop Shitkara and Sukhinder Kaur noted in its 62-page ruling. Kamala Devi, after discovering that her Raja Beta Bolu was not as gullible as his name suggested, and he had assaulted and brutally killed a girl child age 5, prioritised shielding her son instead of informing the police or seeking justice for her, the ruling noted. Terming this social attitude appalling but not new, the bench said such an attitude is deeply embedded in the region's patriarchal mindset and culture, and through this orthodox conditioning, the mother attempted to protect her Raja Beta. So that's effectively saying that this is quite common in that part of India, and this is an upper class thing. I mean, if they're saying that it is a Raja Beta, like a prince, a king's son, these are the wealthy people there that would do this. What do you think the people that are less wealthy there are more likely to do? And the less wealthy ones, of course, they want to come to Britain where there is no caste system, where they're all seen as equal. This is another drive for why people would want to come out of places like India to places like Britain. And again, it's a reason why you don't get the best people either, because you're going to get the people that the untouchables, the people right at the bottom of the system. And if at the top, the people at the top of the system are covering up for their children for rape and murder, what do you think the untouchables are going to be like right at the bottom of the system? And there are lots of these people with heritage that goes back to the untouchable class in India that are actually in Britain. Again, the point of this isn't to make people hate Indians, it's to show the difference between Indian culture and British culture, and to say, look, this isn't a problem with Muslims, with grooming gangs. It isn't like these other cultures that aren't white, like they don't have similar problems. Clearly, they do have similar problems in India. And by importing these people into Britain, we are essentially importing these same problems into Britain. Thankfully, I haven't found a case of a 5-year-old girl being raped and murdered by an Indian over in Britain. But as I say, we do know about these sex crimes, and we do know that Afghans are 20 times more likely to carry out these sex crimes than white people. And now we also know that 80% of all the train thefts are being carried out by migrants as well. You would really think that the government would do something about this and stop both illegal and legal migration, wouldn't you? But I have no doubt that they are going to continue with this. The only real hope that we've got is that we get reform into power next time, and they might do something to slow it down a little bit. Or again, they might not. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.